for us and for allowing us to gather this morning so that we can worship you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the grace of salvation. Thank you that we have a chance to know you and help others to know you, Father. Help us to be humble as we do that, and help us that as we understand who you are, to understand that it's a long journey that we must undertake, oh Father. Forgive us when we get swayed and go into different directions. And I pray that this morning you be with us as we speak through your word, that you guide us and give us a clarity of who you are, Father. It's the name of our Lord Jesus that I pray and believe. Amen. 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 Good morning. This morning I'd like to talk about we are the body of Christ. Now, I know that depending on who you are, this last week may have thrown you different ways. Does that make sense? Yep. And so I'm going to have a bit of a family conversation this morning, but I want to challenge us to come along to being the body of Christ. It is a place we come when we repent of our sins and confess that Jesus is Lord. The implication of that confession is that we now align ourselves, our feelings, our attitude, our thoughts, our deep-seated attitudes to God being Lord.
That's right.
And what that means is that we begin to submit to a godly view of everything. That's not an easy thing, though.
No.
It's easier said than done. Because you may think that, oh, I submit to God. Well, different things may show you differently, and how you react to different things may reveal how you really submit to God. And so this morning, as we talk about this, I want to help us understand that I'm glad we are the body of Christ. We're not a political party. We're just the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We get along not because we just agree on a certain thing, because we agree on Jesus being Lord. We agree that no matter what's going on out there, that Jesus is Lord of our heart, our mind, our attitudes. And that's something we need to begin to grasp and ask ourselves, how does that play in this kind of environment? How does it play when we're going forward? Let's start with Christ being our identity. The conflict we face in these times and these moments, for the most part, is identity issues. Who am I? Why could somebody say that? What's going to happen? That is an identity question you're wrestling with. You're trying to figure out, who am I? And I hope that this morning I can show you that your identity comes from Christ.
Amen.
Romans 12, verse 4 to 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has special functions, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts, but of one body. And we all belong to each other. At the beginning of that chapter, it talks about be transformed. Don't conform to this world. The world right now is full of anger. The world right now is full of hatred. The world right now is full of anxiety and many other things that come with that. But that happens to the world because the hope they have is not of God. The hope they have is of man. And man is not quite balanced as God is. Man really is quite temperamental and can do different things. And so if we come to this understanding, what God is basically telling us is just as the body, I mean, we are the body of Christ, that we function as a body. We don't belong separately. We function as a body. And in this equation, how do we function as a body, even though deep down we may think differently? Even though deep down we think differently, we function as a body when we submit to Christ.
Amen.
That's when we function as a body.
Right.
But if we let the deep down feelings take charge of who we are, then we've walked away from Christ. All of a sudden, Christ is not Lord anymore, our emotions are. You see, emotions are good companions, but they're not good leaders. And pain that you may feel or joy is very interesting. Pain way of introducing yourself, introducing you to yourself. You may think it's all about outside. It's God revealing you to yourself and the things that you must deal with to keep growing. To bring yourself to a place of Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Is no joke. And we don't even know what we are feeling, but as we feel these things, God is trying to say, I am still in control. Romans 8:28 still stands that I walk for the good of those who love me. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts but one body, and we all belong to each other. Do you realize that? We all belong to each other.
Come on.
There's no room. There's no room to be indifferent, and there's no room to get judgmental of each other. We have to connect on Jesus being Lord.
Amen.
That happens because when you repented, you said Jesus is Lord. Not other thoughts. In other words, your first identity is you're a Christian. Your first identity is that I am a Christian. That Jesus is Lord of my life. Not your first identity is not what tribe, what clan, what color. No, your first identity is you're a Christian.
Amen.
You get that down, you will do fine. You don't get that down, you'll struggle. Why? Because society does not ask for your permission. They act up anyway, anyhow. People don't ask for your permission. They act up anyway, anyhow. But God tells you, you're my son. You're my daughter. We can work this out. And you read in the Bible and you see how many things happened during the first century and all that happened during that time and how disciples held together and were very diverse. It's a great opportunity to show the world how a church that is diverse can reach out to them.
That's right.
But that can only be done if we are focused on the identity of Christ. Amen. Then we can go out hurting people and teach them and talk to them about God and invite them to a place of peace. That we get along. Why? Because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not because of affiliations. And sometimes you're keeping quiet and not saying anything, but you're having pain. You're having pain because you're not bringing it to Christ. So your identity is in crisis. You're not knowing, who am I? You're a son and daughter of God. That's where your identity comes from. So we belong to each other. We walk together. We're the body of Christ. Here's what happens. If we are the body, we have to be healthy. We have to be godly. The moment the body begins to fight itself, it dies. But if it's healthy, it grows. We must find our voice in a dark moment like this one.
Come on.
That voice is to demonstrate the love of God among us. Give it to God. This is the hard part. People say, you asked me to give to God, but I feel this way, but I feel that way. Well, you still can give it to God. It's very interesting. I've lived in many countries through many elections without diminishing this one. But I can say this, I've seen worse stuff than this. I'll leave it at that because I respect how you feel. But I've seen worse stuff than this. And I'm telling you, you've got to get yourself to God. Otherwise, you lose hope. Otherwise, you lose your faith. And otherwise, you lose your convictions. And you get very interesting around this kind of stuff. Let's get this one right. Give it to God. 1 Peter 2:23-24, he did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges justly. You know, you can read that and say, yes, I can do that until it happens to you. Then the litmus test happens. Then you walk around angry, resentful, and all kind of things. And if you're on the other side, you walk around thinking, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? And you don't realize that's what the scriptures call you to do.
Amen.
Left his case in the hands of God. It's a hard thing because in such moments, God reveals our desire to control.
Wow.
to be in charge. And yet he says, you can't put it in my hands. You want to control? You cannot. Put it in my hands. God will take care of everything. It's an illusion we all carry. We can control. You cannot control. You don't even know if you leave this room alive today. But you assume you will. Because you've done it before. You did it last Sunday. Why not this Sunday? That's an assumption we make. And over time, an assumption becomes an entitlement. So we lose the humble position of we give it to God. That's the humble position we must come to. Give things to God. And learn to leave this place joyful and connected to God. Some of these things reveal our historic of anger and resentment. That is what God is trying to change in your heart.
Come on.
A Christ-like heart that needs to become new because of what's going on. Not that what is happening is right. That God will use different things to show whatever needs to change in our hearts.
Wow.
And I'm not going to judge the outside. That's not my role. I'm a minister. I'm called to take care of his sheep. I'm a shepherd. That's my role, to take care of our souls to get to heaven. Myself included. It's very important to understand that. In such a time, we must become the light and not lose the saltiness that we are supposed to have. Verse 24, he personally carried out sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. The reason Jesus died on the cross is so that we may die to our sin. And now by his wounds we are healed. That process of healing begins from that cross. I know that many of us this morning are baptized. But I can tell you this, that we are not healed. And the healing is happening. And different things throw up what you struggle with. On either divide of the aisle, different things throw up stuff that you must figure out, what do I need to heal from? And healing is a journey, people. You may think you're fine until something happens. Healing is a journey that we must begin to embrace. And he says, that's why he went on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. It's a journey that you must be cognizant of and ask yourself the feelings and put them on the cross and not put them on the neighborhood or what someone else is saying. That person is just a catalyst that is used to bring about what's going on in the heart. The first time somebody told me that, I was angry. I said, how can you say that? Don't you understand what I'm feeling? He said, no, I'm just trying to explain to you that that was there in the heart already because of what the scriptures teach, that these things come from the heart. So now God is trying to heal that. That's why he says he works in everything, he works for the good of those who love him.
That's right.
That's why he says that. 1 Peter 2:12-13. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Are you kidding me? That this time we need to live such good lives that those out there look at you and say, surely you serve an awesome God.
Come on, Steve.
This is not the time to be losing it. This is the time to be focusing. This is the time to see God. This is the time to say, hey, can we find our God? What does God want us to do right now? One time I was living in a country. Elections came. And for 3 months people were killed. No, not just talking. They were killing people. And I drove around and took a flight to go to another place. And even that flight was so booked, I had to have a brother who was in the airline industry to go and try and organize disciples who were under threat of being killed to be moved to a safe place. And as I walked, I came from a different place, but I looked like the one that they want to kill. And you walked around the streets and people looked at you like, you felt like, I'm going to die anytime. And I walked for a good 3 months feeling like I'm hunted.
Wow.
But I was a minister. And every Sunday I spoke up and said, let's talk about God. It's then I figured that it's easier said than done. So this morning I talked to you. Let's have a family conversation. I know you're feeling different things. But this is the devil's scheme to take you away from the Lord himself. And I think that we sometimes identify way too much with the worldly things than we should be identifying with God. This morning I want to challenge us as a church to identify more with Christ than with the worldly things that we have around us. I'm not judging what affiliation you have. I'm not judging that you like X, you like Y. That's not my role in that. That's you and God. I'm rather asking you to come to a connection with God. A place where we become the light in these dark moments. That we share God, we talk about God, and we show how God is bigger than what is going on right now. Yes, I struggled for 3 months, but those 3 months I got better. You may struggle for the next few months, but you need to get better, not stuck. We've got to get better at these things. Why? Because God is bigger than anything on earth. He's creator of the universe. So we must grow and let God be God and us be the human beings he created. That's a hard place to accept. If you watch the universe and you pull back with a camera and pull away and look at how small us is, then you remember that you sit somewhere on that earth and still God listens to you. It's an amazing sense of smallness you feel. And yet God listens to you. I don't want to belittle you, but I want to encourage you that God listens to you. We have to be careful that we don't make others feel guilty for being who they are. Because that's just another way of venting it. We're not being godly. We don't need to make other people feel guilty about it. We need to be godly about this. Submit yourself to the Lord's sake. I mean, that's verse 13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether the king or the supreme authority. That's what the Bible teaches. And you know what? There were people that lit up Christians back in the centuries and used them to light up in their palaces. And yet, God was saying, submit themselves to God. Respect them. You may not agree with them, but respect the fact that God put them there. That's not my speaking. That's God's word. That's not my story. I'm a messenger. That's all I got. And we have to understand how that works. You see, it's easier to submit to the guy that agrees with you. It's another thing to submit to a guy who doesn't walk with you. In the same way, we're put in the same body of Christ, and we're not from the same race, not necessarily from the same background, but we walk together because God is bigger than all our backgrounds. That's why it can work. Without that, it will not function. If we don't understand that, then Jesus is not Lord of our lives yet. And that's what we must understand today. Respect everyone. Let's talk about this. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. Love your Christian brother and sister. Fear God and respect the King. Respect everyone. Wow. It's funny how we like to be respected, but will you give the same respect back? Do you respect that someone, you may say something that is offensive. Do you respect and ask yourself, is this building or destroying? So that you watch what you say. Does that make sense? We got to respect everyone. That's, and then including the person in the authority. Yeah. You know, it's funny. One person may cause sin, but if you deal with it in an ungodly way, you're worse off than the guy that committed sin. Because you know that what was wrong. Why should you become sinful in the way you're dealing with it? You need to be godly in the way you deal with it. So we cannot use our anger or resentment and other things, or we cannot use our position of, oh, this happened, so I can do this. That's not what Daniel did, as we learned this morning. Daniel was more godly as he went forward with his life. So that's a very steep spiritual climb to take. But if you do, you become more like Jesus Christ. If you do, you become the light. If you do, you become the salt. Everybody else is doing everything else. We're not doing that. We've got to come to a godly point of view. Amen. This is what it means to make Jesus Lord of your life. Right. Jesus is not only Lord when it works easy. And as regards to respecting one another, you have to be sensitive in how you talk to one another.
Yep.
Don't just say anything that will make another person stumble. Let me say this. Please do not post stuff on Facebook and all that place and Instagram and just mess people around. You got to ask yourself, am I being a Christian in this place? How am I? What am I saying? I have opinions, but I keep them to myself. In this case, I'm a pretty neutral guy. Yeah, that's the truth. Very neutral guy. I walk around, I'm like, yeah, let's have conversations. I reach out to people. Respect one another. Amen. Watch out what you're putting out there. It can be very poisonous.
Yep.
And if you can't handle it, stay out of, fast from technology for some time. Amen?
Amen.
Let's fast from it. Stop going there and getting angry. Get out of that place. The Bible talks about flee from these things that make you unspiritual. Get away from that stuff. Be praying and be happy. If you don't like to watch that channel, do not watch that channel. Be praying and be happy.
Amen.
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 Galatians 5:15. Let's talk about this. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Be aware of destroying one another. The whole book of Galatians is how the conflict of Jews and Gentiles and the different personalities and different religion and, rituals and backgrounds and how that was at clash and was happening. And he tells them right there that, you know what? But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Be aware of destroying one another. You can get in the spirit of saying something just because somebody said something. If they say something, I'm going to say something back. If they say this, I'm going to say this. It's like you've got to win the argument. And then with technology, people have a way of hiding behind a phone and just sending stuff. Just sending poisoners on the online because you cannot see their face. Back in the days, you could not do that. Because people looked at your face and said, what are you saying, boss? Today, it's just fingers are walking and you can't be seen. As a church, we cannot spend time devouring each other.
That's right.
I want you to look into your heart and ask yourself, is there someone you look at and you think negatively of them? If you do, may I request that you repent and turn around to God?
Amen.
If you have some condescending thoughts, I ask that you begin to work on that and let go. Because if you don't, that is what eventually the devil uses to develop all kind of bitterness.
Yep. Right.
And it destroys the congregation, destroys everything we're trying to build. You've got to deal with the root of these things.
Amen.
This is not about an election. This is about an inherent sinful nature of a human being. The election just brought it up to the surface. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We think it's about this. I said, whoa. The Bible says it's within us.
That's right. That's true.
It gets triggered and it comes out.
That's right.
In other words, you can be so happy right now until you get on the road and somebody slaps your face, and that's when you're going to go crazy. Those within you. Somebody else may look at it and say, well, no, I don't have to. So this morning, if you want to find your voice, you got to deal with things that are stifling your voice. And normally it's evil stuff that's in the way. Let's not destroy one another. Let's connect with each other.
Amen.
Let us love one another deeply. Let's say you're saying stuff that I don't necessarily agree with. I can pray with you. Amen?
Amen.
I can pray that you come to a place of Jesus being Lord. All right? I can pray that you see God in this bigger picture. That's how it works with God. It's not always fair, it's being godly.
Amen.
It's not about justice, it's being godly. If you think of fair and justice, none of us would be here today. What are you talking about is fair? Nobody would be here today. What are you talking about? We are here by the grace of God, His mercy. If you're talking fair and justice, none of us would be sitting here today. Understand that. Come to that depth and you'll be free from a lot of issues that are in turmoil. I want to say this. Fear is a tool that the devil has used for a long time. But he comes, he's like a dog that barks very strongly, but he cannot bite if you go to God.
Amen.
If you don't go to God, he will bite because he'll control. I had a dog called Stormy. He was a big dog. He barked, he was a loud barking dog. Could not bite. Nobody came into the place. And I liked that because I had no litigation going on. Nobody accused me, your dog was biting me. I just knew if he barked and you saw him, you can come in. He had the perfect effect I wanted him to have. And that's the devil. Barks very loudly, looks very intimidating. Nothing. Go to God. Don't let fear stop you from being the disciple you need to be today.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10. 23, 24. All things to me are lawful, but all things are not profitable. All things to me are lawful, but all things do not build up. Let no one seek his own good, but each other's. Let us seek each other's good. Seek each other's good. Amen?
Amen.
As the body of Christ, seek each other's good. Yeah. All things to me are lawful, but all things are not profitable. How profitable is it when I behave in a certain way? You've got to ask that question. Ask that question and ask yourself, how would Jesus deal with that? And come up with an answer. All things to me are lawful, but all things do not build up. Ask yourself that question. Am I building in my family group? Am I building with my relationships? How am I behaving online? What am I doing as a disciple? And start building, not destroying.
Come on.
Start building. When you go to work tomorrow, build some people up. Amen?
Amen?
Give them hope in God. If you go anywhere, build them up, show them God. Does that make sense? That is where we must go. We must go to God. And that is how you handle whatever is coming your way. Whether it's success or failure, you give it to God. Because success is a way of getting to your head as well. Give that to God as well. Whatever you perceive is coming your way, give it to God. And then you'll think carefully about this. Okay. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealous? Are we stronger than He? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good but the good of others. Just similar but much easier way of reading. Does that make sense? Now, we're not trying to arouse the Lord's jealous. In other words, who are you worshiping in your heart? What is controlling you? What is the kingpin of your heart? What makes you get the energy to get going? Is it God or the happenings around you? I hope you've not given your heart to somebody else. You need to give it to God. I hope you're not taken up just because of the events of the day. Give your heart to God. If you don't give your heart to God, events of the day will play with you like this, like a yo-yo. It's a difficult place to be. You've got to give it to God, to be steady, to stay firm, to be directed by God. Don't arouse his jealousy by thinking you can give. There's no, in your heart of hearts, there should not be competition between God and something else. It has to be God. That's the most important, if you wish, item of worship. Amen? And then he says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Think about that as well. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Think about that as well. Are you being constructive? Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. You see, the world teaches us that get it first for yourself. God teaches, no, serve other people first. Your joy comes when you start to focus on God. When you're selfish, you are inward focused. It's all about you. And long term, that takes us away from being effective as a congregation and touching people as we should. Does that make sense?
Amen.
If we understand that, then we have to start changing today, right now. We start changing the way we think. Matthew 26, 36, 38. Then Jesus went with them to the olive gulf called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Something happened here. Christ became very vulnerable with his friends. Church, I hope and pray that you can be vulnerable with each other. And when you do, that it does not become an argument, but becomes a place of prayer and helping each other move forward. Amen?
Amen.
Because out there, if you become vulnerable, it becomes an argument. Here, get vulnerable and get to start moving. Start the journey of healing. Does that make sense? We need each other in prayer. We need each other in listening. You may never have the answer. Just listen and say, I can pray with you. Does that make sense? These are feelings that will come from different places, but we can pray with each other. It'll be sad if we can't talk to each other because we are afraid. Jesus is very vulnerable. Vulnerability brings about healing. Vulnerability brings about change. And vulnerability takes away the mistrust you may have with certain people because you've had a conversation and their response may help you to move forward. Amen? In finishing, here. Spiritual maturity is not just what you believe. Spiritual maturity is evident by how you behave. It's not what we believe, brothers and sisters. Not as important. But how are we behaving? It is time to be deep, to be spiritual, to be mature. God bless you.
We're going to have a closing prayer and then a closing song. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we're so thankful, Lord, to call you our God, to be able to know you. We're thankful to be here this morning, Father, to worship you, be encouraged by each other. Father, we're particularly thankful for your love for us and how you call us back through your word. Father, it is sometimes painful to hear. Your word does cut and convict us, Father, but it does also rescue us and free us to live a life on a much higher plane in glory for you. Father, I thank you so much for your servant, Steve. Thank you so much for you bringing him to us. Thank you for his conviction to preach the word to us, Father, even though it does cut us, and to not hold back for us for our own good. Father, we pray that as the world seems to get more and more crazy, Father, we'll get all the more fired up. We'll get all the more faithful. We'll become all the more like Jesus and be just an incredibly bright light to be salt to the world around us and be able to help others know you as well. Father, we thank you for this great time together today. Please help us to go out to know you better, to serve you more, to be more like your son. We pray in your son's name. Amen.